Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, welcome back. We're on the home stretch of day one for Training 2015 Conference and Expo. In this edition of Learning Insights, we are coming to you from the show floor. And in this segment, we're going to get a chance to visit with Director Retail Learning and Development from Ace Hardware. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Jay Huebner. How you doing, man?
Good. Couldn't be better. Thank you.
So Ace Hardware, you guys a big learning organization? I thought you were all about hardware.
Well, when your brand is about helpful, which is a human behavior, there's a lot of training goes behind that you don't see.
So that you don't just get hire naturally helpful people, you have to train them? You get regular people and train them to be helpful?
Yeah, if you think about the hardware store, 25 to 30,000 SKUs in the average store, and you're talking electrical items, plumbing items. Bad advice here, and you could burn somebody's house down or flood their home.
You take this very seriously, don't you, Jay?
So there's a lot of training going on, absolutely.
So what's it been like in the last few years? You got the big box competition. Have you guys kind of carved out your niche, your own corner of the sandbox, and you've got that figured out? Or what kind of impact has that had with the big box competition?
Well, they're big competition. But, yeah, we're doing great. 92-year-old company now. We just had the greatest year in the history of the company on top of the greatest year prior to that. And so we're growing fast. And you know, we're really mostly in the fix and repair versus home improvement. So even though we've got stores that sell flooring and cabinetry and roofing, most of them are more hardware stores. And so, you know, really pleased. Adding a lot of new stores, almost 200 new stores added just last year alone.
Oh, wow. So fix and repair. So in many respects, the same person that might go to a big box for some project, if they really want to fix something and they want somebody that can really guide them to pick up the right stuff.
Right. I don't want that 16-year-old who doesn't want to be there.
Right.
Right. Right.
I want that family-owned Ace, right?
Yeah. And what we say on our commercials, we are the helpful place. Hopefully you guys know our jingle. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. And so when we go on the airwaves and say that to you guys, and you believe us, mm-hmm. and you come into our store, we say, if you need help, we want you to think about us, not those guys. You come into our store, one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to fulfill that promise we made to you with very ultra helpful service and, you know, be a promise keeper to you, or we're going to break our promise and kill our brand. And so we take that very, very seriously.
Now, when you saw the advent of these big box stores, it had to be disruptive to your industry, right? You see these guys come in, they have these mega stores, and you're in, you know, relatively small in stature, but mm-hmm. you're very large in terms of being helpful and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. So you were betting on that, and you're seeing the kind of this payoff now, right? That there's a portion of the population that wants that personal service, the high touch, lots of information. And that when you're hiring, are the people in the stores, are they the owner operator of the stores, or you're training them? That's your value proposition that you're offering them when they're buying the store?
Well, there's almost 5,000 Ace Hardware stores. You guys might not know that now. Almost 5,000 Ace Hardware stores in almost 70 countries. And all of them are family-owned businesses with a few exceptions.
Uh-huh. So they're individually owned
and localized stores.
It's somebody in the community that wants to serve the community.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Your kid's going to school with their kids, and these are owners. Mm-hmm. You can go in and handshake and actually meet the owner mm-hmm. of the store.
So I understand you have a training transformation story. I want to hear about it.
Okay, very well. Hey, before we do that, though, I have a gift for you guys.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, September of 2013, an author by the name of Shep Hyken, who's a customer service guru, wrote his fourth book called Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering Amazing Customer Experience. And this book is all about Ace Hardware, as you'll see on there. And this is actually on the 52 things that are sort of the secret sauce behind the curtains at Ace Hardware.
And you'll tell anybody that, huh?
And I brought a copy for you two guys to take and read. And you know what Shep says in that book, just 1 minute on the setup, is that there's a lot of rock star companies out there that are up and comers. We're paying a lot of attention to them. And how many of them are still around? The guys we were talking about 10, 12 years ago. And so he goes on to say, are there any rock solid companies out there that have just quietly been going about the business of amazing customers, every customer, every time? And there's not many, but I found one, and it's Ace. And so I thought you guys would enjoy that book. It's
absolutely
my pleasure to give it to you and have you guys thumb through that, and I think you'll enjoy that.
Well, thank you very much. All right, so connect us to this and to this training transformation story, because it sounds like you've got a good one to tell.
Well, you think about it, in our brand, again, back to helpful. We are the helpful place, and that doesn't happen by accident. And the training function really within our company was subpar. Going back 3 years ago, I'd say it was not the laughing stock of the company necessarily, but nowhere near where it needed to be for our retailers, not what the company deserved. And so we undertook, we're really in year three, entering year three of what I would call a beautiful story that's developing here, where we've really turned things around, and a long way from where we want to be, but a lot closer than we've ever been. And that story sort of starts back. I'm not sure how deeply you guys want to go into
that. I want
that.
To go back 2 years.
That's right.
2 years. Well, in 2 years, I'd say starting in 2 years ago, it started with, you know, no vision. I think when I got involved with this, and you start looking at it, and for a company that really needs to pride itself on learning and development, what are we doing and where are we going and where are we taking this thing? And there's no answers. And so to define and come up with that compelling vision, that was really the first step. And to take that before our executive team, our board, and to be able to say, we need to do a whole lot better, and here's where we want to take this thing, and paint a picture that's believable and challenging and that they're willing to invest in.
That's right, because they had to see an ROI at the end of the day here. They're not doing this just to do it, right?
That's exactly right. And some of this was, it's a believable vision, and we're going to invest some and see if you can deliver.
Did you pilot this, or you just went all in?
It was all in. We basically started by creating a document, a curriculum architecture design of sorts that says, here's where we need to be. If we were done and I could wave a magic wand, that's what our company needs to be great for us to be the best in the industry. And then you overlay that with, here's where we are. And it was a sad story. You look at that and say, wow, we have more gaps than we have solutions.
Wow.
And so
so that takes a humble organization to be willing to look at themselves in the mirror and then see themselves as they are, not as they'd like to be.
Yeah, I think so. But we had to, you know, sell the problem, not the solution. So we really had to start there and be able to show them, this is where we want to go. We'd like
so
you to
who
invest.
Stood up in front of the CEO with this
No, that
PowerPoint.
Took some guts, right? I mean, at first, right?
Yeah.
Is well, that but, person still around?
Well, yeah, that was me and a wow. couple other folks, but it was fun.
It was fun?
It was
to
fun.
To go up there and say the emperor has no clothes was fun?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the way that we described it, too, is we used to say, we have the old country buffet today. Hey, you want some plumbing training? Hey, we got a little bit of that. You want some electrical? Hey, how about customer service? We got a little bit of that. We said we're going to blow that entire thing up, turn it on its head, and we're going to rebuild this thing in a
from
highly prescriptive, competency-based, role-based model. And I think they just got really excited. They got really excited about what they saw and said, if you can execute on that, it's going to change everything around here.
And it did, right? It worked. Yes?
It did. And we started, I think this was really important for us. Where do you start? Because we had hundreds of gaps, and we started where it matters the most, which is around that book on our brand. And what can we do around brand fulfillment to ensure that we really are amazing every customer every time? So we undertook an initiative called Helpful 101. This was 2 years ago. That was a bit, and I think today is still pretty radical in the industry. And we hired some outside help, and we really invested a lot of capital and thought leadership into this, and we built a new training program around our brand. And that was just the start, though. And the way I like to tell this story is, you know, when all three of us were 15 years old, I grew up in Southern Illinois. I went into driver's education. Do you guys have driver's ed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you guys have simulators?
No, we had real cars. That's how old we are.
With two sets of brakes, I think, maybe.
Well, in Granite City, Illinois, where I grew up, they had this simulator, and it had a big TV screen in there. This was, you know, back in 78, 77. And I sat in there, and, you know, little kids would run in front of you, and dogs would come across the street, and you'd have a fake steering wheel and a fake gas pedal, and you'd have to dodge stuff and show that you could drive. And I got 100%, as I recall, on my simulator. But you know what? They wouldn't give me a driver's license.
You're kidding me.
They made me go get in a real car. And prove to somebody sitting next to me in real traffic with a real gas pedal that I could apply what I learned in the simulator.
Right.
So that think about that. That's what we tried to do, and we did with Helpful 101. We said, guys, it's not enough to take this awesome simulator. We're going to make you prove to the world that you can apply the learning, and if you can't apply it, then you cannot get your store certified. And so when we first came up with this concept, this was a bit radical. Back in Oak Brook, some of the people are looking at
the
cross-eyed.
Yeah, I'm sure. What were your people thinking? Yeah, sure. I don't know if I like this. I paid a lot of money for this.
Now, was that a concept before, the idea that your store was certified? It was already a concept, but it was more of a...
No, this is a brand new
concept.
Brand
new concept of having your store certified.
And here's the way we would say it, guys. If you two guys are store owner, we want you to become Helpful 101 certified, and here's the way we're going to do it. We're going to train your entire team. You as the owners, your cashiers, your sales associates, your receiving clerks, everybody. We're going to train them, and then guess what? Jay's not qualified to say if you're certified. Our CEO's not qualified. Our board's not certified. There's only one person qualified.
My customers.
The customers.
Oh, baby.
And so we built a 3-question exit survey that once a store says we're trained and we're ready to go, then we put the exit survey in place and we ask every customer that week to say, would you please on your way out, if you wouldn't mind, give us 30 seconds and tell us how we did, because we want to do better. And if they didn't pass a certain score, then they'd have to retrain.
Very nice.
That's how to do it.
And it worked. You measured it and you looked at your measures and you said,
what were the three questions?
It worked.
The 3 questions on the survey, how helpful were the associate? 1, the guy's a bum, never coming back. 5, amazing. And then likelihood to recommend and likelihood to return. But it gets better than that, because the second part of the training and the final piece of it was what we came to call the 5 trademark behaviors that separate Ace from all competitors. And we would say it like this. They wait. You guys think about this now in the stores where you shop. You walk in. They wait for you to walk up to them, not at Ace. We approach you. We make eye contact and approach. They answer questions. We ask questions to understand why you're in our store. They hand you product or take you to the aisle or point. We make product recommendations for you based on your...
Right, because you're partner. We're partners in this, right? You're trying to help me solve a problem I got in my house.
That's right. And we don't ever want either one of you guys to ever go home without your project being complete. I mean, that's a cardinal sin at Ace. And
soon you'll be coming to my house and actually doing the work. Can I pay extra for that?
We could arrange that, yes.
So I'm sure there are 1,001 elements that came together to craft this success story. But if you had to identify 2 or 3 things that made the biggest difference and caused the momentum in driving this change forward, could you identify 2 or 3 things that really made all the difference?
Yeah, the first would be going back to the vision. Have a compelling vision and be able to articulate that in a way that inspires people and causes investment. Because without money to build this out, we are dead in the water. Second is talent. Over a 2-year period, I've went out and recruited highly skilled managers around curriculum. My superintendent of curriculum on staff was a highly talented gal that we got from the outside. My LMS manager, same thing. So it was a big play on upgrading our talent. And then finally, I'd say, too, you can't do all things, you know, with the money you have. So start with what matters most. For us, it was around our brand, and then build up from there once you get some successes.
So now when you went into the stores and you asked them to be certified or encouraged them to be certified, some of them jumped on it, right? And some of them said, I'm going to wait and see what the other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Now are you finding that since so many people are becoming certified that more and more of the kind of people that were hesitant are now jumping on board?
Yeah, great question. And when you're dealing with thousands of independent businesses.
Right, they got minds of their own,
and
right?
It's all voluntary. We don't mandate any training, so it's all voluntary. It's got to stand on its own. And so you're right, about a third of them the first year we released it became certified and are continuing down that path. 800 or 900 more last year joined forces, so now you're 2,200 or something like that, and then this year they continue to add on.
Right. And then is it something they have to pay for, or is this part of corporate kind of serving them?
Yeah, no, there's no charge for this other than their internal labor.
So it's no charge, but you're encouraging them to do it, and they get the certification at the end of the day for doing it.
That's right. Yeah, and another important thing, too, is just the certification, you know, what's in it for the store. Early on, not a lot of KPI information, but these days we run analytics on that all the time, and stores that are certified, how they're performing right. relative to sales.
I bet you they're doing a little better.
Quite a bit better.
Something tells me.
Yep, good guess. Yes.
So you shared several good ideas as we walked through the conversation, but before we wrap, could you leave our listeners with just a few tips? If they're looking at a potential situation where they're trying to turn around an underperforming training function, I don't know, a do, a don't, just some tips you might leave them with.
I'd start, and I say this for the third time, go back to the vision. What is it that needs to be done, and can't make sure it's tied to corporate strategy? Our 7-year growth plan around having better stores is called 2020 Vision, and training is embedded within there. But be able to articulate a future state that is better than the current state where people want to go. And if you don't have that, I don't think you're going to get investors, and you're not going to get the capital you'll need to build this thing out. I would start there and then take a hard look at the talent on your team, a hard, honest look at the talent, and then have a lot of fun along the way.
Now, you mentioned the importance of talent. What are the qualities you look for in a high-performing manager?
Super high initiative as a competency. I mean, just folks that with very little direction can see what needs to be done and will just aggressively go after it. They're courageous about that, highly skilled at what they do as well. But I've said this for a long time. I love initiative and just...
So if they have enough initiative, you can work with pretty much anybody, right?
Yeah, well, and that's right. It's like I heard somebody say, "It's would you rather pull back on the wild stallion or kick the dog, the sleeping dog?"
Right.
And I think all of us would rather pull back on that stallion
right.
a little bit, right?
People
yes.
who err on the side of action, right?
Mm-hmm. Precisely, yes.
All right, so where can our listeners find out more if they want to hear more about this transformation story? Also, where can they get their hands on this book, this Amaze Every Customer Every Time? By Shep,
go to Jay's house in his garage. I bet it's filled
Jay's
with
got cases of them, right?
I've got a couple posters in my man cave. That's true. Yeah, no, you can actually order the book on Amazon or any online bookstore, and welcome you to do that. And so it's great being on the program with you guys.
Oh, thoroughly enjoyed it. So now, are you hanging out at LinkedIn and Twitter and all that where they could get to you, maybe have a conversation if they, you know, one of your colleagues wanted a little insight on some of these topics?
Yeah, email me, Hube@acehardware.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much for hanging with us, man.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I enjoyed it a lot, guys.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.